Stay cool this summer with a new qualified AC system from Alliance. If your current AC is struggling to keep up, now is the perfect time to upgrade. With payments starting at just $114 a month, comfort may be more affordable than you think. Don't wait until the summer heat is already here. Call Alliance today at 2212-642. Again, 2212-642. Alliance Heating and Air. Everybody calls us.
This Hawaiian mini vacation is brought to your radio by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning. So what does professional office cleaning have to do with relaxing in a tropical paradise? Frankly, nothing. But Maui Bob and the crew want to remind you to be sure to take the time for what's important in this workaday world. Family, friends, and yes, even yourself. And if their professional office cleaning services can help you make that time, give them a call at 221-5868. This Hawaiian mini vacation was brought to your radio by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning, 221-5868.
On great radio stations all across America. It's the National Defense.
Welcome to the National Defense, made possible by Ford, by the Home Depot, by T-Mobile, by Prevagen, by the Wounded Warrior Project, and by Ondas Holdings, LLC.
Welcome back to the National Defense. It's Randy Miller. Great new book out about one of my favorite heroes, one of your favorite heroes, Clint Eastwood. It's called Clint, the Man and the Movies. And tells us some different things about Clint Eastwood. Sean Levy is the author, is on with us here in the National Defense. Sean, how are you?
I'm fine. Good morning.
Good morning. So how did you happen upon doing a book about Clint Eastwood? I know you've done some other books. You did one about Jerry Lewis, Paul Newman, and some other iconic figures. And it would just seem like, I know there's been a couple of other books about Clint, but what is it when you approach a subject or a project like this that you think can kind of unlock some things that people have never heard about a person?
Well, I think it's partly that Clint has so many things going on in his life as an actor, as a director, as someone who dabbles and in fact takes a big role in politics, as a father, as a conservator of land, as a businessman. There's just a lot to sink your teeth into. And he's so prolific, and so his longevity is so impressive. You know, he's 95. He released a movie last year that he directed and produced.
Yeah.
And the other books about him are 20-odd years old, so there was still a lot of chunk of life that hadn't been recorded yet.
Yeah, it's amazing. The first major biography of Clint in over 20 years. It's called Clint, the Man and the Movies. So we were able to talk to Clint Eastwood on this show a few years ago, and it was late in the evening, and I think Clint might have had a couple, but, you know, just to talk to the guy is just unbelievable. I mean, he's been around, and he's the mayor of Carmel. It's just so many different things that he's been involved with. What was the most surprising thing when you dug into it, Sean, the most surprising thing about Clint Eastwood?
You know, it gets back to that longevity thing. We're talking about a 70-year acting career and a 50-year directing career. Somebody pointed out it's as if Tom Cruise and Steven Spielberg were the same guy.
Yeah, really.
The quality of the work, you know, the multitude of things he's done just in Hollywood, either career would be noteworthy. He's the only person in Hollywood history who's achieved both.
Well, let's get into some of these points that you talk about in the book. Obviously, I don't think it surprises anybody that he's a lifelong loner, right?
Yeah, he grew up in the Depression, and his family moved around quite a bit when he was a young boy. So he was always the new kid at school. He was tall, kind of skinny, shy. He got picked on a lot. And he found solace in nature. He had a grandmother who had a small farm in the East Bay area of California. And he learned how to play piano. He's a lifelong boogie-woogie piano player, and he's still got the piano he learned to play on.
Really?
So those things, yeah. And I think if you combine those things, love of nature and love of music, you have a good, start to a recipe to create a filmmaker.
The guy's like a Renaissance man. We're talking to Sean Levy here on the National Defense. Clint, the Man and the Movies is the name of the book. And you talk about another reason that we love Clint Eastwood was because he was in the military. You know, you have to go back a long way to find actors, especially famous actors, that were in the military. But I think Clint was pretty proud of his service.
I believe so. He served 2 years in the Army, 2 years to the day, as he always pointed out when he was younger. And he was mainly based at Fort Ord during the Korean War era. And he had pretty cushy details. He was the lifeguard at the station pool.
Right.
He did have one hair-raising incident, not combat-related, but he was on a transit coming back from Seattle from a weekend furlough. And his plane had to do a forced landing in the Pacific Ocean, and he and the pilot swam to shore a mile or so. And ironically, 60-odd years later, he made the film Sully about the famous incident when the passenger jet was landed in the Hudson. So Hollywood had a guy on hand to make that movie who actually experienced it, and that's pretty crazy.
That's pretty cool. Yeah, you think about those iconic movies, A Fistful of Dollars, Good, the Bad, and the Ugly. The Outlaw Josie Wales is fantastic. Up into, Million Dollar Baby and Gran Torino. I mean, he's the guy. It seems like every project he brings something special to it, whether he's acting or directing or both. And let's talk about his personal life just a little bit, because you really never hear much about Clint Eastwood's personal life, do you?
You know, he's, as we say, he's a loner. He likes to keep his cards close to the vest. He's got that old ethic of, I only owe the public my work and my performances. But he has had a pretty complex personal life. He's been married twice. He's had a couple of other long-term, decade or so relationships. And he's got 8 children that are publicly acknowledged by 6 mothers. But that said, he keeps the family intact. There are some wonderful photos. There's one illustrated in the book of all 8 of his kids who, are almost 50 years apart in age at the 2019 premiere of The Mule, which is another great late film of his.
Yeah.
And his first wife is in those group photos as well. He may not be the greatest husband or partner, but he's a good ally, and he stays with the people that he cares for.
Hey, let me tell you about our friends at Norwegian Cruise Line. They truly are a military-friendly company. They have a military appreciation program that was created for veterans, by veterans, with a mission to deliver amazing vacations for active-duty military, veterans, and their families. The program includes a 10% discount off all cruises, plus special onboard experiences, and is combinable with current NCL promotions. So military families can get the most out of their R&R at the best value. Register today at ncl.com/military. Norwegian Cruise Line, ships registry the Bahamas and USA. Restrictions apply. Hey, National Defense Network has a new mobile app that you need to download right now. Just go to the App Store or nationaldefensenetwork.org to get your hands on the largest giving and savings platform on the planet. You can support our military veterans at the same time you're saving over $1,500 on travel, dining, vacations, and retail. You can get $60 off admission to Disney World and hundreds of other discounts. Just go to nationaldefensenetwork.org, download the app, and upload the savings. Ondas Autonomous Systems is the U.S. leader in drones and autonomous systems for national and international defense, homeland security, law enforcement, and emergency responders. The company's best-in-class AI-driven drone platforms are deployed globally to protect and secure sensitive locations, populations, and critical infrastructure. Ondas is dedicated to supporting our military, providing a layer of security and safety for our troops, both at home and on the front lines. To learn more about their mission, their technologies, or careers at Ondas, visit ondas.com.
Ford was built on the belief that the world doesn't get to decide what you're capable of. You do. So ask yourself, can you or can't you? Can you load up a Ford F-150 and build your dream with sweat and steel? Can you chase thrills and conquer curves in a Mustang? Can you take a Bronco to where the map ends and adventure begins? Whether you think you can or think you can't, you're right. Ready, set, Ford.
When it comes to your yard, reliability matters. Shop with confidence at the Home Depot and get 4th of July savings on Ryobi, the number one cordless outdoor power brand. It's time to choose your power. Both the Ryobi 18-volt and 40-volt self-propelled mower kits are on special buy for an even lower price of $429 each, was $479. Ryobi's battery platform delivers the power, runtime, and dependability you need to tackle yard work with ease. Shop 4th of July savings on Ryobi outdoor power only at the Home Depot. While pricing valid June 25th through July 8th, U.S. only. See store online for details.
David is a real Prevagen user, and this is his story.
Nice to meet you. My name is David. I've been a pharmacist for 44 years, and I'm from Flowery Branch, Georgia. When I first started taking Prevagen, I noticed stuff just seemed to come together and fit like a jigsaw puzzle. When I have customers come in, I recommend Prevagen. Number one, because it's safe and effective, does not require a prescription. And I've been taking it quite a while myself, and I know it works. I wouldn't recommend something like Prevagen if I didn't think it was worth it because it works so good for me. And I love it when the customers come back in and tell me, David, that really works so good. Makes my day.
Prevagen, at stores everywhere without a prescription. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Testimonialist was compensated for their time.
Hey, T-Mobile recognizes the unwavering dedication and sacrifice of those who serve, have served, and the families who stand beside them. T-Mobile is committed to keeping military families connected through every PCS deployment and homecoming on America's best network. And they're proud to support hiring initiatives for veterans and spouses, strong partnerships with military organizations, and ongoing community investments that make a difference. Learn more at T-Mobile.com/military. Best mobile network based on analysis by Ookla of speed test intelligence data, 2H2025.
With over 20 years of generous community support, Wounded Warrior Project has helped post 9/11 veterans and their families with no-cost services, legislative advocacy, and more. And we're just getting started. Visit woundedwarriorproject.org/possible.
At Redding Heating and Air, we don't just promise fast service. We put our money where our mouth is. How does $500 in cold, hard cash sound?
Whoa, $500? Kelvin, are we serious?
Dead serious, young fella. If we don't have your new system installed within 72 hours of booking, we'll pay you $500 cash. You know, back in my day...
72 hours? Kelvin, can you even move that fast?
Anyway, that's the old-fashioned way of doing things, Chili. We respect a neighbor's time. We show up when we say we will, and we hustle until the job is done right.
It pays to use Redding Heating and Air. Restrictions apply. Visit RedingHeatingAir.com to schedule your 72-hour install today.
Don't wait. Let's get to work.
Redding Heating and Air. Old-fashioned service, modern-day solutions.
Shasta County. Tired of filtered news? Welcome to Shasta Unfiltered, your trusted online newspaper for the North State. Straight facts on Reading politics, city council moves, local events, and the national stories that actually hit your wallet, like federal funding changes and job trends right here at home. No agenda, no paid spin disguised as news. Just honest reporting and the stories you need. Visit ShastaUnfiltered.com. Your community reported right.
The Ramsey Show.
You actually can help people, and you don't help them by giving them a government program. You help them by showing them the way out. People love me enough to put their arm around me and show me a different way. I didn't figure it all out in my own head. So there's a power to hope. That's not some kind of false panacea positive thinking way. It works. You can't positive think your way into everything, but you can't negative think your way into anything.
Listen weekdays at noon on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio station.
We're talking to Sean Levy here in the National Defense. The book is Clint, the Man and the Movies. And, you know, I think a lot of people might be surprised about Clint's actual politics, too. Old school libertarian. And actually, you know, you talk about giving a screen image, a reasonable regulation of firearms, huh?
Yeah, he supported the Brady Bill, and he signed petitions in the late 60s during the era of political assassinations for handgun control, which is crazy when you think that we're talking about Dirty Harry.
Right.
But he's, you know, he really is a live and let live guy. He's cast and featured, you know, actors of color and queer actors and queer actors, characters, and women have had strong roles in many, many of his films. There was an article in the 1980s in the Los Angeles Times calling him the foremost feminist filmmaker in Hollywood. And yet, you know, this is a guy who spoke at Mitt Romney's convention and, you know, has, by his own testimony, at least as of about 2018, had never voted for a Democrat for president. So, you know, he really is in the middle. I remember going into dorm rooms in college in the 70s, and you'd see posters of him next to, like, Jimi Hendrix and Che Guevara. You know, you'd see the man with no name.
Huh.
And that's kind of a lefty, you know, radical, you know, environment. So it was very surprising to see exactly where he stood on things and what he had said over the years.
Hey, Sean, what kind of access did you get to Clint or his family members for this book?
I had none. Clint gave a book-length interview to a biographer in 1995, so 30 years ago. And I think that was sufficient for him. He said what he had to say. And but he, you know, people rightly say, oh, he's very taciturn, he's very private. But he's been in the public eye since the 50s, and he's given hundreds, if not thousands, of interviews. So you're able to track down things he has said on very specific subjects, and, you know, sort of put together his life in his own words through a lot of research and talking to some colleagues and people who acted for him, which I've done over the years. So I think it's a rounded picture, even though it's, you know, as I say, people write books about Lincoln every year and they never interview the guy.
Oh yeah, I love biographies. I mean, you find out so much more about the person. And I used to love Clint. You know, he had such a love and passion for golf, and maybe he still does at 95, but I used to love it when they had Pebble Beach, and they would interview him on the CBS telecast, and he was great.
Yeah, he owns that course. He owns Pebble Beach Golf Beach.
He owns Pebble Beach?
He is part of a consortium that bought Pebble Beach from the Japanese in the 90s. He, Peter Uberoth, Arnold Palmer, and Charles Schwab were the four principals in the consortium, and to this day, he still owns it.
Wow.
and he still makes movies. If you think about owning Pebble Beach, you can play any day, whenever you want, and yet he makes movies, because I think that's the essential fact. He's a movie maker.
That is crazy. We're talking to Sean Levy here in the National Defense, the new book, Clint, the Man and the Movies. So have you heard from anybody from Clint's family or Clint's side of the aisle about this book?
No, not yet. The book's only been out for about 2 weeks. It's early days. I don't expect to hear one way or another. They didn't want to participate. There's no reason for them to seek action against me. I've been doing this for a long time. I know what's a fair thing to say about a person in print. And, you know, I like to think my Paul Newman book came out just after Newman's death, and there were grumblings. Oh, it reveals this about Newman. It reveals that about Newman. And eventually I heard from people close to his daughters, his survivors, saying that they appreciated the portrait. And I hope the people who care for Clint would feel the same way, that this book sort of captures something of their patriarch on the page.
Did you get kind of any resemblance, any commonality between Paul Newman and Clint Eastwood?
Yeah, you know, we're talking about guys that came up in the 50s. They were Newman was slightly older, born in the 20s. Clint is from 1930. Their politics were different, but I think they were both sort of live and let live guys. They both lived away from Hollywood. Clint lives in Carmel. Newman famously lived in Connecticut. I wanted to write about Clint right after I'd written about Newman, but there was a small book about Clint coming out soon after, and the publishers don't want to be in competition with one another, so put the kibosh on it. And I figured, well, that was that. Who knew he'd be still, you know, active 15, 16 years later? But I do think that they would have had a mutual respect for one another. They both raced cars. Newman did it at a very high level, but Clint dabbled with it in the 70s. You know, they were similar type guys, old school American men, you know, of a breed sort of like my dad's, you know, that you don't have, you know, me and my peers and people younger than us, you know, we're good guys, but we're not cut from exactly the same cloth.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I think both guys kind of approached their business in the same way, kind of did it their own way. And you're not going to tell me what to do kind of thing, right?
That's right. And, you know, both of them in the 70s, they both were starring in films with younger directors who they had both produced the films as well. So they were producing and starring, and the directors weren't delivering, and they both fired the director and took over. But Clint did it second, and the Directors Guild said, you can't do that anymore, and it's known as the Clint Eastwood Rule.
Only Clint. We're talking to Sean Levy here of the National Defense, the new book, Clint, The Man and the Movies. Did Clint, as far as you found out, Sean, have any real super close buddies?
You know, he had, you know, quite a number of friends around the Carmel area. He opened a restaurant in the 70s called the Hog's Breath Inn, which still exists, although I don't believe he's got an ownership interest any longer. And that crew, his sort of Hog's Breath crew, were quite well known. His Hollywood friends tended to be people he knew early on, not all with us any longer. James Garner, David Janssen, Martin Milner, some of these people he met when he was stationed at Fort Ord, they're the guys who said, hey, you're tall and handsome. You should take a crack at the movies. And, you know, golf buddies, skiing buddies, and you know, he's a loner. He's a family guy. He likes a quiet night at home, maybe with a glass of wine. He was even in his rowdiest days, I don't think he was a sort of party animal.
Right. Yeah.
Go nightclubbing up the strip.
Yeah. Yeah. I could see that. And, I mean, at 95 years old, is Clint Eastwood done with movies?
They say he's still looking at scripts. The movie he made last year called Juror Number 2 is terrific. It's a courtroom thriller. It keeps you guessing. It's got great performances. You know, you look at it, and I don't know, this is a way of thinking about things that sometimes strikes me. It's like it doesn't feel like an older artist's piece of work. It feels, if I told you it was made by someone 60 years younger than Clint Eastwood, you would say, hey, yeah, this kid's got something. And you know, it was made by a 94-year-old.
That's pretty cool. That's pretty cool. Well, Sean, thank you for bringing us this. This is great. It's called Clint, The Man and the Movies, definitive biography of Hollywood legend Clint Eastwood. And, this is going to be a fun read. Thank you so much for the time.
Thank you.
We'll be right back here in the National Defense.
How is your car payment treating you? What if I told you could make a free phone call right now and reduce your car payment by as much as $83 a month? Look at your car payment closely. You could be paying as high as 20% interest. Rate Genius can help you reduce your car payments by reducing your interest rate to as low as 2.48% APR. We can refinance most existing car loans or leased cars, new or used, and save you money every month. Put more money back in your pocket. The call is free to find out how low we can lower your car payment. 5 minutes of your time right now could save you hundreds of dollars a year. Call Rate Genius now.
800-425-1161. 800-425-1161. 800-425-1161. That's 800-425-1161. Not all applicants qualify for a loan or lease.
rates against actual offer terms, including APR, are determined at the time of your application based on creditworthiness, value of the vehicle, loan term, and other factors.
You're listening to KCNR 96.5 FM at 1460 AM, your talk radio. Online at kcnr1460.com.
When customers walk into your business, the feeling they get matters. Fresh, clean paint tells them they're in the right place. Eagle Eye Painting helps offices, shops, and restaurants feel welcoming and professional. We work around your hours, keep things neat, and finish on schedule with clear communication the whole way. We're local, licensed, bonded, insured, and we're happy to work with you in English or Spanish. Give your business the fresh look it deserves. Call Eagle Eye Painting at 530-410-1317 for a friendly, no-pressure estimate. That's 530-410 or visit 530painter.com.
This is Carl Bott. Join Linda and I Monday through Friday from 7 to 9 a.m. for Free Fire Radio. Find out what's happening in our town, our community, and our nation. That's Monday through Friday, 7 to 9 a.m. right here on KCNR, 96.5 FM and 1460 AM. Your talk radio. Miss a day, miss a lot.
For over 50 years, House of Realty has provided experienced and effective advice to its real estate clients. Experts in residential, commercial, and investment property, we have the knowledge and tools to assist you with all of your real estate needs. Family owned and operated since 1965, we have been an active part of the Shasta County community for generations. Please call House of Realty today at 241-8300. A reputation for excellence since 1965.
Hi, everybody. McGraw Millhaven here, host of America at Night. Tune in each and every weeknight for a late-night conversation. We'll have interesting guests, informative conversations from people who have been there and have done that. Plus, we always have time for you, the listener, because we love late-night conversations. Be sure to tune in every weeknight from 7 p.m. to 10 p.m. for the next America at Night with me, McGraw Millhaven, right here on KCNR 1460 AM and 96.5 FM, your talk radio station.
What is happening in the state of Jefferson? To find out, listen to the Jefferson State of Mind program Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. on KCNR with your hosts, Wynn Carpenter and Terry Raposa and Janet Chandler. To catch up on past broadcasts or to listen anytime, go to KCNR1460.com and click on the archive link.
Come out and play. Have you seen the bill we all have to pay? The time has come for 51 in a Jefferson state of mind.
Since 1934, Grange Co-op has been more than just a store. We've been a cornerstone of our community, owned by people like you. We proudly offer top-quality farm and ranch supplies, including our own Rogue Feed, as well as workwear, western apparel, garden essentials, and pet care products. By signing up as a Grange Rewards customer, you not only enjoy exclusive benefits like special offers and 1% back on most purchases, but you also become part of something bigger, a cooperative that you own and help shape. Join Grange Rewards today.
Hi, welcome in to Still a Hero, powered by USAA. My name is Randy Miller, and every week we have great conversations with people who have led in the military and are leading in their communities. And we got a good one for you today. Well, Major General Angie Salinas, this 39-year Marine Corps career, is a masterclass in leadership. Rising from an enlisted Marine to command at every rank, she made history as the longest-serving woman in the Corps and its first Hispanic female general officer. Incredible. Today, she continues to shape the next generation as the CEO of the Girl Scouts of Southwest Texas. Major General, welcome to Still a Hero.
Thank you very much, Manny. I'm very honored to be here with you today.
It is so great, and it's remarkable when you look over a career like you've had, how inspirational all of this is. And we always like to start with this question because it always gets an interesting answer and a different answer every time. What inspired you to join the Marine Corps in 1974, and how did your family react?
Well, great question, and thanks for dating me, Marshall. So always, you know, like I often used to say, you know, I remember like being in the audience and listening to somebody from World War II, and now I feel like I'm that person, right? You know, because when you say like to us, it doesn't seem like it was that long ago, but wow, it was. And but honestly, in 1974, I was a sophomore in college, and I think if you think back to that, it was the end of the Vietnam War. The all-volunteer force was in its infancy, and, you know, it was a very difficult time, I think, for America. And I think everyone thought that the all-volunteer force, we were all very patriotic, and that men were going to be running to the recruiting, you know, forces to raise their hands and say, I do solemnly swear. And I just went to go mail a letter. And a Marine recruiter, back then the recruiting services were in the post offices, which unusual, but back then that's where they were at. And a Marine recruiter stepped out and said, why aren't you in the United States Marine Corps? I'm 19 years old, I'm a sophomore in college, struggling academically, and really I think just looking for something else to do. And this Marine recruiter, I met him on the 30th of April. I'm looking at him and said, look, buddy, I am just trying to mail a letter. But there was something, I think that just what he spoke was essentially the Marine Corps will offer you this challenge. But the idea of joining the few, the proud, and thinking about the fact that Marine Corps was about 175,000 strong and less than 2,000 of them were women. Mm. I essentially would be fewer and prouder. But I met him on the 30th of April. On the 4th of May, I do solemnly swear to support and defend the Constitution. And on the 7th of May, I was at Parris Island, South Carolina. Oh. It was a very fast decision and probably a case of buyer's remorse by on the 8th of May, I suspect. But what a huge change and opportunity for me.
And so yeah. your family was okay with everything?
My family had absolutely no idea, because I'm at a small Catholic college in Dominican College in Santa Fe, California. My family is located in the southern part of the state of Texas. And so they had no idea. Literally, I'm probably almost all the way through recruit training before they located me. And totally disappointed because this is kind of the standing joke. Women recruits were all trained at Parris Island, South Carolina. And so they track me down and they go, where are you? And I'm like, oh, wow, I'm in Paris. So they, of course, think I'm like in Paris and I'm at the Eiffel Tower. And I said, I'll be there in a couple of days. And I leave recruit training and I go to Raymondville, Texas, and I'm knocking on the front door. I'm on my pinstripe uniform, little knocking on the door, and my mom opens the door and, like, just stunned, basically says, what, you know, like, we already bought Girl Scout cookies. Like, stunned at the idea. And just, they're just flabbergasted because they thought I was in college and why would you join something like the Marine Corps? But I tried to explain, listen, this is an opportunity. Like, I the Marine Corps so stressed education, and I had joined in the reserve program, so I had the opportunity to go back to college, which, and this is a great, you know, what a small world we live in, because my dorm mother, right, so here I've told you, I was really struggling academically. I didn't know what I was going to do when I grew up. I really spent a lot of time the first 2 years doing really nothing but probably partying. But when I went back to school to finish my last 2 years, my dorm mother was a Dominican nun by the name of Sister Aquinas. Her real name was Mary Nimitz.
Ah.
And she was the youngest child of Admiral Chester Nimitz.
Wow.
Small world, right? And she never ever, and so what was interesting was that my last 2 years, while I was finishing up my college degree, as a young enlisted Marine, I would spend 3 days in the Marine Reserves going over to Alameda. And I was the only woman Marine, so they had never really enlisted someone. And so I'm in this all-male detachment. And I would stay in the barracks with the Navy women, who would just harass me unmercifully, you can imagine. And so I would come back after my 3 days of being in the Navy, being harassed unmercifully, and she would hear me, you know, lament about these horrific women. And so one evening she says, "You should tell them that you know Admiral Nimitz's daughter." And of course I'm clueless. I'm, you know,
yeah, right, right.
And I'm like, really? So she comes down one day and she tosses the, you know, life biology, you know, the biography of Admiral Chester Nimitz and throws it on my lap and walks away. And I'm like, really? Like, I don't have enough things to worry about in my own class.
Right. Yeah.
And now, yeah. Sister Klein just wants me to learn about Admiral Nimitz. You know, it's not in any of my history classes. I'm not going to bother about this. But of course, I flip through it and I go to the back of the book and there it talks about Admiral Nimitz and his 4 children. And there it talks about his youngest, Mary Cornish, who is a biology teacher who, amazing, goes to Stanford, goes to UC Berkeley. I mean, is a biologist, goes back, gets her PhD, right, at Stanford. And so she's in biology in the 60s, right, long before STEM.
Oh,
sure.
I mean,
this is like a woman who can pace the world, right, whose dad saves the world, basically.
Yeah.
And so this is basically a woman that had so many choices in the world. So little Angie Salinas, having no idea at the age of 19 and 20, has this role model that I'm, like, clueless to.
Wow.
So what a small world, right? So this is how I kind of start my career.
And not just a small world, but also a meant-to-be moment. I mean, that had to be such an impression on you. And I can see, I'm so glad you told that story because you can look back, and I'm sure you've done it many times, and trace your journey back to that situation, right?
Well, interesting. When you're 19, you don't realize the impact of that. I think it's when you go 20 years forward and you look back and you think, wow, where is the trajectory? Where is the crossroads? Where is the, you know, like, where did something matter in your life? And when we talk about mentors, when you talk about, you know, what made a difference, you know, I think back, wow, what was a chance encounter for me? Mm-hmm. And I think, oh my gosh, you know, here was Sister Aquinas. And I was very blessed. You know, I think once in a while you kind of have that regret, you know, because I walked, you know, left and I went on to an incredible career. And I never had the opportunity to go back. When I tried to go back to say thank you, when I got selected for Brigadier General, she had passed away literally several months before that.
Wow.
So my payback was when I retired, I literally went and sat on the board of the Admiral Nimitz Foundation in Fredericksburg, Texas for a term, because I just felt like that was my closure. Like I needed to go back and give back to her family and to the legacy of her family, to our community.
Talk about your full circle moment for sure.
Yes.
It has been such an honor to talk to you. This has been a fascinating conversation. I mean, 39-year Marine Corps career, the CEO of the Girl Scouts of Southwest Texas, Major General Angie Salinas, you are still a hero.
Oh, well, thank you. I want to say thank you. Thank you to USAA for doing this. There's some phenomenal people out there. I'm honored to be included in this group. Thank you. You have been entertaining. You brought out, I think, the best in the stories that probably haven't been told in quite a while.
That's great. That's great.
Thank you.
Ford was built on the belief that the world doesn't get to decide what you're capable of. You do. So ask yourself, can you or can't you? Can you load up a Ford F-150 and build your dream with sweat and steel? Can you chase thrills and conquer curves in a Mustang? Can you take a Bronco to where the map ends and adventure begins? Whether you think you can or think you can't, you're right. Ready, set, Ford.
With over 20 years of generous community support, Wounded Warrior Project has helped post 9/11 veterans and their families with no-cost services, legislative advocacy, and more. And we're just getting started. Visit woundedwarriorproject.org/possible.
Now, this is Carl Bott and Ted Leidy. We want to invite you to our new show, Man Up, the fourth Thursday of each month, right here on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM.
Man Up, 6 to 7 p.m., where we explore the lost art of being a man.
Spirits, cigars, and hit the ground running when you get up in the morning. That's what Man Up's going to be about.
Oh, don't forget motorcycles, guns, and hard work every day.
And those things that men talk about when women aren't around.
That's right. Even cooking sometimes.
Even cooking sometimes. People, places, and things.
Serving your family, your community, and your country.
Man Up. Fourth Thursday of each month from 6 to 7 p.m. right here on Free Fire Radio.
Shasta Lake and neighboring friends, the Queen of Dragons has your back with premium products at prices that work for you. As the longest standing dispensary in the area, our local team knows exactly what you need. Our shelves are stocked with the freshest flower in town. From our premium, fresh, and local line to our budget-friendly options featuring Emerald Junkies and Tricana Boys. Don't miss our famous Flower Friday deals. Top quality at unbeatable prices. And for the green thumbs out there, clones are now in store for the growing season. Join our Dragons Reward program and earn points with every purchase. Stop by 5044 Shasta Dam Boulevard in the city of Shasta Lake or call us for delivery at 530-276-9771 or check out our menu at thequeenofdragons.com. The Queen of Dragons, premium offerings, unbeatable value just for you.
Got an old car sitting in your yard? Donate it to Reading Piano Angels. We accept all kinds of vehicles. Cars, trucks, RVs, boats, motorcycles, even trailers and go-karts. Thanks to local support, Piano Angels has provided over 600 pianos to families, schools, churches, senior homes, and nonprofits across Northern California. Donate today by visiting readingpianoangels.com or call 530-510-1903. That's 530-510-1903.
Charlu's Tap House in Anderson, where tradition, taste, and togetherness come to life. Warm up with our made-from-scratch soups and signature family sauces, crafted from cherished recipes passed down through generations. Watch the magic happen when we hand-toss every pizza to order, then bake it to perfection. Crispy, cheesy, and made with love. Let the little ones explore our brand-new adventure room with bounce houses, arcade games, and even a make-your-own pizza table where the kids can make their own pizza. Charlu's Tap House in Anderson, where tradition, taste, and togetherness come to life.
City.
Yeah, I've seen you at Stanford's here. I've seen you.
Yes.
So many different places. Are you still doing stand-up?
I haven't done it in a while, but depending on the success of this show, I don't know. We'll see.
Hey, man, you don't have to worry about it. Hey, when you're buddies with Adam Sandler, you don't have to worry about much, right?
Well, no, but, you know. In fact, he's doing a nationwide tour of stand-up, and he asked if I'd like to do some guest sets.
Oh, wow.
With him. And I said, hell yeah, sure.
Oh, that would be cool.
I will be tomorrow, actually. Happy Gilmore, too. I'm in that, so.
Wow. Well, I mean, you've been in just about all of them. Waterboy, great in Waterboy, man. So funny. I mean, you're just always such a recognizable character. How was it to work with Leanne?
As I've been so lucky in this business, the people that I've worked with and for have been just wonderful people. She's a wonderful person. Chuck Lorre, you couldn't ask for a nicer guy.
Yeah.
Ryan Stiles, Kristen Johnson, Celia Weston. It's like a family.
Yeah.
Everybody, they're just so nice, and it's so so different than what you would imagine that people in high up in show business are like. They're normal, good, decent, hardworking, humble, nice people. And I've been so lucky that I've, the people that I've worked for over the years, like Adam and Ken Allen and Michael Jacobs with Boy Meets World and Drew Carey and just, I don't know, they've become friends. They're friends. It's not just, but I mean, I was friends with Adam before I got Waterboy. So we did this movie called Shakes the Clown. It was Bobcat Goke.
Sure.
It was about three rewrites away from being a really good movie. It was loosely about stand-up, and we were all clowns.
I love that movie. Shakes the Clown.
Shakes the Clown. And Adam and I played friends. Even though I'm 20 years older than him, we became friends, and we were doing that movie when he got Saturday Night Live. So,
wow,
you know, after the movie, he went back to New York and started doing Saturday Night Live. That was cool.
We're talking to Blake Clark here, the National Defense, and the new Netflix comedy series, Leanne, which is coming out July 31st. Yeah, you know, Leanne is so down to earth. I know the last time I interviewed her, we sang Rocky Top at the end of the year together. I mean, she is just herself. And it's funny, when I watched the show, and I watched every episode of this show in about two nights. I loved it. I thought it was so good. Because, I mean, you guys... And I guess it's pretty easy for you, Blake, because I mean you've got that Southern accent, and but to pull that off and to nail that Southern kind of existence, man,
right.
It's so authentic.
Well, yeah, I mean that's kind of what they were going for.
Yeah. I asked Kristen Johnson, I said, hey, you grew up in Milwaukee. How can you be Southern? And she said, well, I learned a lot of it from Leanne.
Yes. I don't know, a Southerner feels the necessity to apologize for themselves all the time. They're usually, you know, they're usually self-deprecating. They're usually pretty down to earth. It's a lot of nature. It's animals and plants, and she says I was a farm girl. Well, I didn't grow up on a farm, but I hunted until Vietnam. I didn't hunt after that. I didn't really want to. That's a whole other story.
Well, I kind of want to ask you about that, because so our audience is active duty military veterans and their families, and I know you were a platoon leader in Vietnam. So so that your hunting days were over after that. What I mean, was that experience just completely changed you?
Yeah, I just didn't want to kill anything anymore.
Yeah.
I mean, I still eat meat, but I don't know. I'm not against it. I mean, people that, that's sure. My heritage, the South, growing up in Georgia. But I don't know. I didn't want to do it anymore. And I also did what I didn't like, being around a bunch of rednecks with guns.
Well, I just watched
guns and beer and rednecks are
it's not a good combo, is it?
That's like I used to say in my ag, is that alcohol, tobacco, and firearms isn't the Bureau of the Federal Government, it's the shopping list for the weekend. Redneck.
I just watched some stand up from you on the Tonight Show, and you're talking about the guy talking about when they give you they tell you how to fasten your seat belts on the airplane,
right?
And they hold it up over their head, and you looked at the guy next to you, and he said, "I can't get it over my head." And
I can't get it up over my head.
Yeah, and you said, "Hey, did you drop your NRA card?" You were one of Johnny's favorite guests on the Tonight Show.
I was lucky. He was a veteran. So was Ed and a bunch of people, and Doc and all of those. Yeah. They were all in the service.
Yeah.
And so, I guess they kind of, I think they were very protective of me. So that was nice. And when I did the first Tonight Show, it was in July of 1982. I'd only been out here since January of 1980. I didn't have a manager. I didn't have an agent. I didn't have anything.
Wow.
I was the doorman at the Comedy Store. And that's the way I got the Tonight Show was the guy who used to be the comedy coordinator, a guy named Jim McCauley. He's dead. They're all dead now. he saw me do my stuff about being a Vietnam veteran. So he said, why don't you do this tonight? You do the show. And I went, really? And he goes, yeah, put together some material. So I did, and he didn't like the material. So I went, well, there's that. That went, nowhere.
Right.
So like 6 or 8 weeks later, I'm still working the door, and he comes in to see somebody else. And he says, when are you going to showcase for me again? And I went, I thought you didn't like me. He goes, I didn't like your material. I like you. So I went, okay. He said, put together another 6 minutes. So I put together the 6 minutes. He liked it, and I got the show. So,
wow. Wow. How was that? How was that first Tonight Show? Man, I
was so nervous.
I'll bet.
In fact, in my introduction, McCauley, the guy that was the talent coordinator, wrote for Johnny to read. He said, he spent a year in Vietnam as an infantry platoon leader, but tonight is the most nervous night of his life. So that was the introduction. And Johnny had read it. I'm standing back behind the curtain, getting ready to go out. I'm, trying to remember my first joke.
Right, right.
And then somebody goes, Blake. And I turn to my right, and it's Carson.
Ah!
He came backstage and said, this is great. I was just relax and have fun. Don't be nervous. And that made me more nervous.
Oh, man.
I mean, that was Johnny. That was Johnny Carson. Carson just called me by my name and said, don't be nervous.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, my gosh.
And I walked out, and I looked over at him, and I went, yep, that's him. And then, you couldn't really see the audience.
Right.
You knew they were there. It's kind of like walking through the jungle of Vietnam. You couldn't see the enemy, but you knew they were there.
Yeah.
So you couldn't see the audience, but I knew, I could see the cameramen, but no audience. So that kind of threw me for a second. And then I had this one joke that was very iffy. If I did it right, it would really hit big. If I did it wrong, that was the end of my career.
Yeah, right.
So
right.
It basically hinged on one joke, which was the people who came home after World War II got they should have got all kind of heroes welcome and parades and all that. The hostages came home. They got a hero's welcome. We came home from Vietnam. We didn't get a hero's welcome. People spit on us and called us names. So I would let it sit there for a second. And you could hear, you could hear like tick, 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 tick.
Right.
And I went, I spent a year in Vietnam fighting for my country. I come home, first American I see calls me a warmonger and a murderer. First American I see. A long pause. Let the audience, they were very uncomfortable. I couldn't see them.
Right.
But in the clubs, when I was doing the 6 minutes, they would kind of fidget and look away or whatever. So I go, caused me a warmonger to murder. First American I see. So I killed him. And the audience went nuts. Carson fell out of his chair. That was it. After that, I just kind of took a deep breath,
so
finished out the rest of my 6 minutes, which turned into 10 minutes. And,
that's so good.
Yeah.
Blake Clark, he's on the new Netflix comedy series, Leanne, starts July 31st. Blake, great to talk to you, man.
Great to talk to you. And thank you guys for all your service. Thank you for picking up your weapon and standing the post. Thank you for those who guard us.
We'll be right back here in the National Defense.
Everyone has a community to lean on. A neighborhood, school, kids' teams, where you worship, work out, or any other place or group where you choose to belong. Communities can provide support when you need it, and even when you don't know you do. Like when it comes to preventing underage drinking and other substance use, You've talked with your kids and shared clear expectations, but you're not with them every minute. Your community members, friends and relatives, teachers and coaches, faith leaders, and other important adults in your kids' lives can be your eyes, ears, and a supportive influence when you're not around, reinforcing your messages with your kids and alerting you to warning signs of underage drinking or other substance use. So talk with your kids about these issues and involve the members of your community to help keep your kids safe, because when you talk, they hear you. For more information, visit talktheyhearyou.samhsa.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.